Esselamu aleyküm ve rahmetullahi ve berekatuhu. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yesterday we had discussed the battle of Ajnadain. We now move on to Yarmouk. So having achieved a resounding victory at Ajnadain, Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala and Amr radiyallahu ta'ala with their mujahideen who were with them returned to Yarmouk, where they joined up with the rest of the Muslim army. The mood was bright in the Muslim encampment. I mean, it was a happy occasion. Battle had been won, etc. But this war was far from over. This was one battle that had taken place. The war was far from over. Under the leadership of a Roman person by the name of Tidor, a huge Roman army arrived at a place called Waqisa, which was very close to Yarmouk, where the Muslim army was stationed. It was very close to them. And they prepared now for their upcoming battle with the Muslims. The Muslim army, whose leader was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, consisted of somewhere between 40 to 45,000 mujahideen. The Roman army, which was led by this Tidor, consisted of 240,000 soldiers. Therefore, the Romans outnumbered the Muslims approximately by a margin of 6 to 1. For every one Muslim soldier, there were 6 Roman soldiers. With the Muslim army encamped in Yarmouk, Roman forces gathered along the southern bank of the nearby river. Amr radiallahu ta'ala took the fact that the enemy was blocked by the river as a good sign. He said that, "O people, rejoice, for indeed Allah ta'ala has blocked the Romans from crossing easily, placing in their way a river." Rarely does a blocked army, rarely as in R-A-R-E, very rare, does a blocked army achieve anything good. As for Khalid radiallahu ta'ala, he employed a strategy that was never before used by Arabs. His strategy involved the forming of divisions and subdivisions. In that spirit, he organized his army as follows. He formed divisions, with each one having over it a leader, and with each one consisting of somewhere between 10 and 20 subdivisions. One division, and in that division, there were between 10 and 20 subdivisions. So he formed 40 subdivisions. Each one was part of an overall division. Right? One was what we explained just now, that one division. Then he also formed 40 subdivisions. Each one was a part of an overall division. And each one had its own leader, and each one consisted of 1,000 soldiers. More precisely, he organized his army into these groups. The central division of his army, which consisted of 18 subdivisions, or in other words, 18,000 mujahideen. This division was headed by Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, who had with him Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl and Ka'qa bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala huma. The right wing of the army consisted of 10 subdivisions, in other words, 10,000 mujahideen. This was headed by Amr bin Al-As, who was accompanied by Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu ta'ala huma. The left wing also consisted of 10 subdivisions, that means 10,000 mujahideen, and this was headed by Yazid bin Abi Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala. The front division, because of the nature of its mission, which primarily involved guarding against the enemy in case of a surprise attack, the front division did not require a large force. instead made do with a relatively small amount of mujahideen. And then you had the rear division, which consisted of 5 subdivisions, mean 5,000 mujahideen, headed by Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala was in charge of certain administrative aspects of running the army. Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu ta'ala also had some administrative duties. In addition to being in charge of handing out food rations to the soldiers and gathering the spoils of war from the battlefield. Another notable companion present at Yarmouk was Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu ta'ala, who was known as a skilled reciter of the Quran Sharif. He would walk between the ranks of the Muslim soldiers all the time reciting Surah Anfal. All the ayat of jihad, etc. In the Surah, Surah Anfal, Surah Tawbah. Right? So he would recite these ayat. And also other ayat in the Quran Sharif that, you know, where jihad is mentioned, etc. So he would walk in between the mujahideen and recite Quran Sharif, recite all these ayat. What an environment must have been in their jihad. He did this to raise the level of morale among the Muslim soldiers. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ When the ayat are recited to them, their iman increases and they place their trust upon Allah Ta'ala. The orator of the Muslim army was Sufyan bin Harb radiallahu ta'ala. He would go from row to row of the army and he would give targhib, advise them, give them some words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remind them of Jannat, of the Akhirat, etc. Right? So he would do this and then he would encourage them to fight bravely and sincerely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So keep renewing the niyat, keeping the alignment right. The overall leader of the army was of course Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. He was stationed in the middle of his army and he was surrounded by the most eminent of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. Realizing that the upcoming battle was near at hand, the leader of each subdivision walked up and down the rows of his men, encouraging them to fight bravely and reminding them to be steadfast and patient on the battlefield. I mean, this was no easy thing to face an army that's 6 times your number. And on top of it, you are in their territory. You're not even on home ground. You are at a total disadvantage. Right? The leaders of the Muslim army perceived the significance of the upcoming battle. It was, they knew, a battle of epic proportions, one that would decide the fate not just of Yarmouk or nearby cities, or not just of the region, but of Sham in its entirety. Khalid radiallahu ta'ala in particular knew that whichever way the battle went, it was going to be decisive in terms of its long-term consequences. The Muslims were to succeed in defeating the Romans in the upcoming battle, the door to conquering the rest of Sham would be swung wide open. After that, Muslims would perhaps face a little resistance, but not the kind that could stop them from achieving an all-out victory and expelling the Romans from Sham. Victory also would lead directly to further conquests in Asia and Europe. Conversely, Khalid radiallahu ta'ala knew that if the Muslims were to lose the upcoming battle, then the door of Sham would be closed. If not forever, because obviously another Muslim army can come, so not forever, but it would be closed for a while. It wouldn't be easy to send another army here and face the Romans again, an army Abu Bakr alone, he encouraged the people. So many people there now. Mujahideen are there, right? Last words of encouragement before the commencement of the battle. There were a great many eminent Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala present at Yarmouk. And each one of them was called upon to provide words of encouragement to lesser experienced soldiers in the army. In that spirit, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala delivered this speech, that, O slaves of Allah, help Allah. In other words, help the cause of Allah's deen. Right? And Allah ta'ala will both help you and make your feet firm. Verily the promise of Allah ta'ala is true. O Muslims, be patient, for patience saves one from kufr, leads to the good pleasure of Allah ta'ala, and protects one from shame. Do not leave your rows. Don't break rank. The worst thing you can do in hand-to-hand combat, when you're on the floor and you're facing an army, is to break your rank. Because once the enemy makes a hole in your ranks and they are now driven through you, then you left your, the rest of the Mujahideen are very vulnerable. So you must not break rank. So do not leave your rows. Do not take, you all big people come and handle all this. And you're telling him that he's going to jump this. He's listening nicely. Leave him to listen nicely. Some elder person sort this thing out. I'm telling you all, teach this one, two people how to handle this thing, so that if somebody is not here, somebody else can handle it. So do not leave your rows. Do not take one step towards them. The enemy. Don't go front. Don't take any step towards them. Do not initiate fighting with them until I order you to do so. Inshallah, it says, begin fighting with spears. Protect yourselves with shields. And adhere to silence. Imagine, even in the battlefield, adhere to silence. The only exception being dhikrullah you do within yourselves. There must be past and fast. There must be zikr that you are engaging in. Dhikrullah you must make. This you do within yourself. Other than that, silence. Another eminent sahabi, Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, also delivered a speech to his soldiers. He said, O people of the Quran, O people who are called upon to guard the book of Allah, O helpers of guidance and supporters of the truth, Allah Ta'ala's mercy and His Jannah are not achieved through wishful thinking. It's not achieved through wishful thinking. Allah Ta'ala bestows maghfirat and His vast rahmat only upon those who are truthful and those who confirm their truthfulness through their actions. Have you not heard the saying of Allah Ta'ala, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, wa'adallahu alladhina amanu minkum wa'amilu s-salihat, layastakhlifannahum fil ard, kamastakhlafa alladhina min qablihim. That Allah Ta'ala has promised those among you who believe and who do righteous deeds, righteous good deeds, that He will certainly grant them succession to the present rulers in the earth, as He granted it to those before them. So great advice, Shaykh Hazrat Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala's pleasure in Jannat is not gained through wishful thinking. There is an effort, a mujahada, a sacrifice. Right? We don't have a situation of a battlefield. Right? But every day of our life, we have to be striving. We have to be striving. We have to be fighting that nafs. We must feel that difficulty. We must feel that difficulty. We can't just give in every time to the nafs. Namaz is finished, there's some nafal to read or something. No, I just go now. No, we must fight that nafs. That nafs must be put into struggle and read that extra. In the morning, we're trying to wake up for tahajjud. Now the nafs wants to sleep. Wake it up. Don't be ridiculous also. Don't try to wake up at a time that a person can't wake up. But for example, if Sehri now is ending at 5:15, around there, 5:10. So now if a person, at least by 4:00, person can wake up. Somebody got a little bit more taqat, he can wake up 3:30, 3:00. At least that amount of time a person can wake up and spend in some infiradi ibadat, talking to Allah Ta'ala, making zikrullah. Just now I was listening to, I told one friend of mine to put some bayans of Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Maghdar Sahib on one USB stick. So the first, he gave the thing to me, so I just put it there in the car radio. So the first file, Hazrat is making zikr of Ism-e-Zat. So how long it was, I don't know. But what was recorded was 23 minutes. 23 minutes, that was how much was recorded. Exactly how long he was making zikr, I don't know. But just Allah, 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 one way. Now, person says to make zikr, one tasbih, la ilaha illallah, one tasbih, Allah, Allah, not many. Don't get time to do it. Just one tasbih, we can't find time. Just to read our morning du'as, evening du'as, masnoon surahs, make little bit tilawat of Quran Sharif, we haven't got time. But for panchat, we got time. Panchat, any time to sit and talk with friends and just banter, cheap discussions, sometimes filthy discussions also. That is not time for it. Not time to read in the papers and magazines and checking the phones and all those things, a lot of time for all of that. But to talk to Allah Ta'ala, make mujahada against the nafs and earn that jannat, earn that good pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, that we don't have time for that. So what a beautiful statement, malfuz, of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala. He's saying, look, Allah Ta'ala's mercy and His jannat is not achieved through wishful thinking. In other words, mujahada will have to be made. Mujahada will have to be made. Muaz radiallahu ta'ala and continued to say, this is that Muaz radiallahu ta'ala whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, that, O Muaz, by Allah I love you. So these are not ordinary people. These are not ordinary people, So he continued to say, he said, be shy of your Rabb by not having him see you flee from your enemy. Allah Ta'ala is watching you. While He's watching you, can you run away from the enemy? Allah Ta'ala is watching us. While He's watching us, can we commit guna? Allah Ta'ala is watching us. He's listening to us. Can we talk filth? Allah Ta'ala is listening to every word we sing. Can we talk filthy things? So see what he's saying. That Allah Ta'ala is watching you. Have some sharam in you. That when Allah is watching you, don't run from your enemy. When all the while you are in His grasp, when you have no one to seek refuge in except in Him, and when you have no honor without him. Don't fight for the enemy. Allah Ta'ala is there. You're always within his grasp. Right? And he can protect you. So don't fight for the enemy. You face the enemy. Amr bin al-As radiallahu ta'ala, his turn now to address. So he said, O Muslims, lower your gazes, sit on your knees, begin fighting with your spears. Then when they come to attack you, give them a respite from your blaze, from your blows. Give them a respite from your blows. Until they reach the edges of your spear's blades. At that moment, pounce on them the way a lion pounces on its prey. By the one who is pleased with truthfulness, that means Allah Ta'ala, the one who gives rewards for truthfulness, the one who despises lying, the one who meets out punishment for lying, and the one who rewards goodness with goodness. I indeed heard that the Muslims will conquer Sham, village after village, castle after castle. So do not allow their size and their numbers to terrify you. For if you are true and sincere in the severity you show them in fighting, they will fly away like the children of a partridge bird. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala, he gave his speech. He said, a group of Muslims, you are now in a foreign land. You are cut off from your family, far away from the leader of the believers, that means Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and from other Muslim soldiers who could help you. By Allah, you now face an enemy that is here with large numbers, and they are furious with you, for you have caused them much tension and stress regarding the safety of their lives, their children's lives, and their wives' lives, and of their wealth and their homes. By Allah, you will not be saved from these people, and you will not achieve Allah's good pleasure tomorrow, unless you are true when you meet the enemy, and you make sabr when the goings get tough. So defend yourselves with your swords and work together. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala then went to the woman and he advised them, after which he returned and he said, O people of Islam, what you see in terms of this formidable enemy in front of you is our present reality. And so we must face it with sincerity and strong iman. See what they always go back to. Ikhlas, iman. That's the only thing that's the weapons of the believer. The other things is just means. The believer makes use of the means. Whatever means he got in front of him, he makes use of it. But the thing that he holds on to is his ikhlas, his iman, tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala, amal salih, don't engage in guna, remain humble. Imagine even in the battlefield they are being told, silence. Silence and your heart in dhikrullah. Your heart must be connected to Allah Ta'ala. So remember, here is the messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Jannat in front of you. And here is Shaitan, the devil, and Jahannam behind you. In other words, by you advancing, you are advancing to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Jannat. Because if you get martyred, now you're going to meet up with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you get Jannat. If you turn around and run, you're going to meet up with the devil and hellfire. Having said this, Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala returned to his position among the rows of the Muslim army. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala then said to his soldiers, what a bouquet this was. What a bouquet. Yeah. All these senior sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were present there. They all giving it, nasihat. Ajeeb, ajeeb. environment this must have been. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and he said to the Mujahideen, hurry towards the fair maidens of Jannah and towards being near your Rabb, the possessor of might and majesty in gardens of bliss. Of all places, this right now is the place that your Rabb most loves you to be. The battlefield. Lo, the patient ones are indeed blessed and good. Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala went to each subdivision and said, Allah, Allah, verily you people are the defenders of Arabs, the helpers of Islam, and they, the enemy, are the defenders of Romans and the supporters of Shirk. O Allah, this is a day among your days. O Allah, send down victory upon your slaves. As the two armies faced one another, a Christian Arab, perhaps not with the best of intentions, said to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, how numerous are the Romans today, and how few are the Muslims. True as his remark might have been, numbers, as Khalid radiallahu ta'ala reminded him, do not mean everything in war. Woe upon you. Are you trying to frighten me by mentioning the Romans? In other words, by mentioning the size of the army? In reality, the true measure of an army's size is not the number of its men, but rather the help it receives from Allah Ta'ala. If it is helped by Allah Ta'ala, then it is large. And if it is forsaken by Allah Ta'ala, then it is small. The same goes for every other effort. Whether it's a madrasa, whether it's a jalsa, whether you're gone in jamaat, whether you are gone to the khanka, whether you are studying the deen of Allah Ta'ala, how successful a person will be is how much of Allah Ta'ala's help he has. Allah Ta'ala's help he will have if his iman is strong, he's got ikhlas, he's doing amal salih, and he's staying away from guna. Simple. Then Allah Ta'ala's help will be there. When Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala and heard the voices of the priests and the monks emanating from the enemy encampment, they now obviously encouraging their people and doing their prayers and whatever. So he said, O Allah, shake their feet. He made dua. He said, Ya Allah, you shake their feet, instill terror into their hearts. Send peace down upon us. Make us adhere to the word of piety. Make us love to meet our enemy on the battlefield. And make us pleased with your divine decrees. Whatever you decree. If you decree victory, we must be pleased with that. If you decree that we must be defeated, we must be pleased with that. If you decree that we must be martyred, we must be pleased with that. Whatever is your decree, Raza bil Qaza. Raza bil Qaza. Whatever is your decree, we must be pleased with that. So we'll stop here. Now, after this, the author, he describes the Roman army, how they were organizing themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to take the lessons. Allah ta'ala put the true love and respect for Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala in our hearts. Give us an understanding of our deen. Give us tawfiq to make amal, follow the sunnah of our beloved Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the people that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prepared and left. The cream of the ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepared and he left. And see they, how they took deen forth. We were supposed to be doing the same thing. A responsibility on our shoulders. We got so caught up in our dunya, we hardly got any time for our deen. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Today's day of Jumu'ah. We should increase our durood, salam upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Try and read at least minimum 1,000 durood on the day of Jumu'ah. There are some small children there in Brasilia. So the brothers who went now to read Tarawih, you know, so they took some tasbihs, you know, the tasbih counter. So they gave the ustad there to give the children. So the ustad gave a few of the children. So the ustad noticed, see, these children, whole time now they got the counter in their hand. Even when they're playing soccer too, they got the counter in their hand. From the time they got it, you know. So the next day, again, when they came, Marissa, you see, they got, and they're reading. They don't know much, but they, so he called them, he said, you're, what you doing with the counter? You're reading or you're just pressing? They said, no, we're making zikr, all. So what zikr you're making? Say, all different ones. Think Allah's name, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah. Whatever they knew, so we're reading anything. And we, so there were two students who he noticed all the time they had the tasbih. So he said, let me see your counter. So the one student, for that day, 25,000 his counter was sitting on. And the other one, his counter was sitting on 28,000. Imagine. It just shows that if we utilize our time properly, how much zikrullah we can make. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته